Hello and welcome. We are really excited to have you here, and we want to talk about something special with you today. As a company, we are committed to the vision of diversity and inclusion, and we want to empower every person to achieve more. And we believe that making the web available to everyone is absolutely critical to this mission. So today we want to present our journey in the last couple of years and discuss some of the ways that you can help us. Let's talk about content presentation. It comes down to really a few simple steps. The authors create the content, the markup, CSS, styles, image resources, they add accessible information, script. And then the web platforms really just transform this into the visual output. They draw pixels on the screen, they use VR headsets and display. Now in terms of accessible presentation, it's slightly more complex than that. The author content and the web platform are still super important. However, what really matters is that web platforms now don't project this to visible information. Instead, they project this to the platform accessibility APIs, such as UI automation and Microsoft Active Accessibility. But in the end, the overall experience is really defined by the assistive technology tools and clients that users use, such as screen readers, magnifiers, high contrast tools, and others. All individual components are very, very important in the overall experience, and as an author, you should remember that the overall experience would not be better than the weakest element in the presentation stack. To understand where we are today and how we got here, it might be really useful to look at the past and some of the key decisions we had to make in the past. So to start, we want to get back to the 90s, the web 1.0, if you will. The author content was largely static. The standards are really in the early days. The author expressive palette is really limited. And back in the day, Internet Explorer with the Trident web platform supported Microsoft Active Accessibility APIs, which basically attached additional information to the DOM elements, like to every DOM element in the DOM tree, which was great for the time, worked fine. As time went on, new standards started to appear. HTML5 allowed authors to provide and express rich document semantics, and CSS re-enabled next generation layouts and styles. ARIA appeared and allowed authors to add accessible attributes and information to control accessible presentation. And any of the gaps that browsers had in the accessibility APIs could be easily backfilled by direct access to the content process. So what happened was assistive technology clients, in many cases, connected to the content process of the browser, to the DOM, CSS, ARIA, and just got this information and started to build a custom experience, which was absolutely fine for the time. But then what happened was the same extensibility APIs could have been used by malware and spyware. And those bad clients could get the information that you actually would never want to share with anybody. Going forward, in Windows 8, Microsoft created the modern application model. Secure by design, it prevented arbitrary code to inject themselves into the application content processes. And it was great for security because the bad clients could not connect to the content process and get good information that you don't want to share. But also, arguably, a step back for the assistive technologies because that was the way they used to build the experience. So, whenever there's some problems, there's always opportunities, right? And the opportunity for us was to actually, once in a decade opportunity, to evolve every component in the presentation stack that we can control and take it to the next level. We eventually rebuilt the Microsoft Edge Energy HTML engine to be a full native UI automation client, a modern accessibility API client, and we had a chance to work with assistive technology vendors to help them evolve their experience as well. Now, to talk about Microsoft Edge modern accessible platform, I want to invite Rosen, who was leading the engineering work for building the new accessibility pipeline, Microsoft Edge.
Thank you. Thank you, Bogdan. So before jumping into the technical details of what we did and how we did it, I'd like to share a quick story of how I actually got involved with accessibility in our web platform. A couple of years ago, Bogdan walked into my office, and he proposed a really interesting bet to me. He said, "Rosen, I bet you that you're not going to be able to fire up the browser, navigate to Bing, type in MSFT, and tell me what is the current stock price in under 2 minutes." Okay, funny. Somebody broke the build. Okay, what's happening? He said, no, there's nothing wrong with the build. In fact, Bing is also running just fine. Services are fine. There's only one gotcha that I have, which is I want you to do it all with your monitor turned off. And to make it a sweeter deal for you, I'm going to bet you 10 to 1 odds that you're not going to be able to do it. He said, if you can do it in under 2 minutes, I will buy you 10 Microsoft shares. If you can't, you owe me one Microsoft share. These are good odds. And I took them. I'm very heavy keyboard user. I've used Narrator before, absolutely. In about 4.5 minutes, not only did I owe Bogdan a Microsoft share, but I also knew that we had an opportunity, as well as we owed it to our users to do a lot more, a lot better. And so, I'm just trying to see, okay. To give you an idea of what we did is basically looking at a simplified version of the browser pipeline, how things work inside for visual presentation, and then I'll give you a glimpse of what we did in terms of accessibility. As usual, everything starts with requesting, navigating to some content, downloading a bunch of HTML, some script, maybe CSS, and then offloading that to parsing and further building of the DOM tree. So DOM tree, once the DOM tree is ready, we can go do styling, we can go back to script, yield some time to them to maybe further modify the DOM. And at some point, we'll be requested to do some kind of visual presentation. So before doing so, we would have to build what we call the layout box tree. Layout box tree is a structure that is similar to the DOM tree, but it's really tailored for all of the visual heavy representation, rendering, composition, hit testing, as well as answering queries to object models, such as what is your offset width, offset height, etc. Once the layout and visual display objects are built, we proceed to, as I said, rendering and composition. So this kind of takes us to one step of a pretty typical browser pipeline. But what about accessibility? How does accessibility plug into this whole thing? What do we do for them? In our previous model, when a user using assistive technology, such as, say, Narrator in this case, requests some information from us, we would have gone and built those what we called accessible objects. That was really tightly coupled objects, kind of like a subset of the DOM, but not quite. He didn't really see all of the rich stylistic information that's been evolving over the years. He didn't see much of the layout information that was there, so it was requiring some evolution. And that's exactly what we did. So we basically stripped it all off. We removed it. We couldn't support MSAA, as Bogdan already mentioned. And we had to build something new. What we built is something that we call the Accessible Tree. Earlier, Jacob from the F12 team kind of gave you a sneak preview of what the Accessibility Tree looks like in the DevTools. And he wasn't kidding. That's exactly what the Accessibility Tree looks like underneath the hood. It is built based on the ARIA standard, as well as it takes full fidelity capture of the DOM tree, all of the elements, all of the styles, all of the computed and generated content elements. Everything that is presented to the visual user is now available and computed inside of this accessible tree. Much like the layout box tree, the really cool thing about the accessibility tree is that it has a life on its own. It is capable of observing and reacting to all of the dynamic changes that happen on the DOM and style side, but not necessarily at the same time. Like, you can have some buffer of time while DOM is being heavily mutated by script, or it's perhaps answering a question from a previously requested OM query. The last step in this little pipeline demo is obviously provide the information that we've pre-computed to the user. That is mostly done in the form of clients of UI automation implementing a number of client APIs and requesting information from us based on our accessibility tree. The information that we provide is usually, in the case of screen readers, read out in an audible version, or it might be tactile braille output, but it's related to the user in some sort of text-based information. All right, so now that we've seen how the browser pipeline works and reacts to accessibility, the question is, but what does that mean to you? You as web content developers, as people who work in the industry to help enable all of our users, what does it mean to you? Here's a screenshot of Microsoft Surface web page I took just before the meeting. There's two beautiful images, couple of columns of text. And I have a quick question for you, just as a show of hands. How many people here know how to make these two images accessible? Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. So, thumbs up. I'm going to speak mostly for you, because you're probably thinking I'm going to add an alt text and describe what the image does. In this case, a person reading on a surface. Not quite. Actually, that would be not the right thing to do in this case. Why? Because these images are pure presentation image. They provide no value to the user. In fact, when the user consumes this page in an audio format, for example, and reading all of the text, all of those alt texts will be breaks inside of the text of the source of information. So not the right choice, but that was my choice as well. So guilty as charged. My point here is, go read some of the specs for accessibility. Read ARIA. Read best practices that are provided by WCAG. WCAG is a specification which is for web accessible content guidelines, or web content accessible guidelines. And it's great. It will give you a lot of information, a lot of cool stuff there. So improving accessibility is not only about screen readers. It's not necessarily only about providing audible format to users. The next feature that I want to touch upon is what we call high contrast support in the browser. And this feature is really about improving the readability. Now, readability. What is readability? Let's remind ourselves. Readability is about arranging words and groups of words in a way that allows the reader's eye to access content easily and in a way that makes sense. It's really more of an art form than pure science or a bunch of guidelines. It often tends to be hard to do right, hard to do really well for people who are a little more novice in our space. It has to do with paying a close attention to spacing of lines, inter-letter spacing, picking the right fonts, picking the right backgrounds and foreground colors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, really high contrast feature was designed back in Windows to support and help enhance exactly the problem of contrast. Ensuring a high contrast between the background's colors and the foreground text colors so that when you have a device and you're consuming content, you can read easily. So going back with the team of Microsoft Pages, here's another screenshot of a different web page, the Bing homepage. It's a beautiful layout, beautiful presentation, some pleasing effects such as background blurs, crisp fonts, very rich visual image information. It looks great, right? But what if we focus on that image in the middle? There is a problem here. And the problem is that the text that's being composed right on top of that background image is starting to lose contrast. It is starting to lose contrast because it happens to have white font face color on top of, in this case, the football player's uniform, or maybe even going through the streaks of the football field. But regardless of this, this is a very, very, very common problem on the web. You have content that's being composed either on the client side or somewhere on the back side that has some set of pretty fine rules of, hey, this is where the title is going to go, this is where going to go some visual content. The developer or the designer doesn't necessarily know what content will be composed behind their textual content. And so when we started implementing high contrast in Internet Explorer 10, we wanted to solve that problem. And we did. First thing we did is we started applying theme when in high contrast that would force all of the opaque backgrounds to use the background color specified in the theme, for example, black. And it would also force all of the default colors of text, as well as hyperlinks, to be whatever it was specified in the theme. For example, say yellow. We also got rid of background images because they were not opaque and they were not a single color. And they were really, really hard to make a guarantee that they're in high contrast. So we definitely solved the issue of contrast, wouldn't you agree? I mean, black background on white text, it is highly readable. I have to give him that. But we lost the fidelity of the web. We lost this rich information, which was sometimes a lot more than what the text says, right? A picture paints 1,000 words. So this is exactly what we wanted to solve in Microsoft Edge. And the way we did this is by starting to really think about the backgrounds and all of those layers that are composed in a very, very separate way than all of the foreground text. In fact, what we did is we introduced a new layer that is computed based on all of the bounding rects of contiguous blocks of text, inflated a little bit so it doesn't budge right into the text. And we are composing that right underneath every text block. Remember, it's about words and blocks of words and making those highly readable. So regardless of what's in the background, regardless of where this text ends up being in the final layout, we guarantee that there will be a backplate that has the background color of the team being selected in high contrast, as well as text that has the highly contrasted foreground color of whatever, again, the team happens to be chosen. Going back to the Bing web page, applying high contrast will simply result in making every single line of text anywhere on the page highly readable. You don't have to do anything. As a web developer, you don't have to do a thing. This simply works. But what if you do? Okay, well, the first thing that I want to ask you, and I highly recommend to you to do, is try high contrasting. Go to Start Settings, choose Ease of Access and High Contrast, and simply apply one of the predefined high contrast themes. Once this is applied, go back to your page and take a look. If your page looks good, great, you're done. If you want to further improve that experience, if you want to further change the way things are styled and presented, we support that. Microsoft Edge supports a media query called MS High Contrast. When the media query evaluates to active, meaning somebody turned their high contrast theme on, you have a block of at media rule that you can supply additional styling. You can change things a little bit however you want. In addition to that, you can also target specific elements or parts of elements and disable high contrast only for them. We support a property called MS High Contrast Adjust that lets you turn off the high contrast for those specifically selected elements. In my case, I'm turning off all of the paragraphs. I'm opting them out from high contrast for high contrast themes that are actually, in this case, black on white. So we can target specific, predefined high contrast mode. So this is how, using high contrast, we guarantee the readability of web content. Now I'm going to give it back to Bogdan. He will tell you a little bit more about how we and Microsoft Edge engage with the rest of the ecosystem to enable better experience for all of our users.
Thank you, Roshan.
Thank you, Roshan.
And thank you for reminding me that you actually still owe me Microsoft share of Microsoft stock. I will get back to this after the presentation.
Guilty.
As we finished on our transition journey for Microsoft Edge itself, we transitioned the web platform part. We started to support native UI automation. We understood and went back to our overall system model and realized that we actually need to take everybody with us, like the overall, every component. The author content has best practices, so we have trust you guys will do the right thing. But we need to help the ecosystem, all the vendors that create assistive technology clients, basically screen readers, magnifiers, and high contrast solutions that people actually use. So we partnered with the rest of the ecosystem to help them, and we transitioned our full effort to this partnership. And I'm really excited to know that as of today, most of the companies listed on the slides, most of the ones you actually expect, have either released product, have preview version, or have done a public demo of the version that's soon to be released as a product. In fact, the best way I think we can summarize our partnership is to use a quote from NV Access Company. This is a company that creates NVDA screen reader. one of the great freely available screen readers to the market. If you have a time and want to read a great technical, transparent summary of the journey that we went together, I would highly encourage you to read this blog post. I think it's great. Finally, we want to circle back and talk about how you can help. And we believe there's opportunities for you to engage with every component of the presentation stack. Just to repeat ourselves, on author content, please build standards-based content and follow best practices. Don't reinvent the wheel. Do not overdo things. Most of the problems you're trying to solve most likely have been solved in the past. So just use best practices. For the web platform part, try it in the browser. File bugs for something that don't work using public bug trackers. Microsoft Edge use F12 accessibility tools that provide you overview of the tree, attributes, accessible information. If you're not using Microsoft Edge, you can use inspect.exe tool on Windows. That basically works very similar to F12 accessibility tools in every browser. Next, platform accessibility. You can actually engage with W3C working groups that define the mappings from the markup languages to platform accessibility APIs, such as CSS working groups, SVG working group, Web Platform working group that defines HTML, ARIA working group. And those working groups really look for your input and the problems and patterns that you need solved. I think there's no better testament to this than to know that DeRosen here is the co-chair of the CSS working group and co-chair of the CSS accessibility task force. And I'm recently appointed chair of the SVG working group. We really look for your feedback, so please provide it. Finally, and I can't stress it enough, please experience your content like your users would. Try screen readers, try magnifiers, try high contrast solutions. Fun fact, when we developing this, as Sonosan pointed out, we actually did. And we had a tradition to use Windows Narrator at least once per week for a full day. We turn off our screens, we enable Narrator, and we try to use a computer for the full day without any visual help. For us, it was absolutely transformative to the way we think about the problems, to think about the content. Last, remember, every component here is super important. So it's not just about author content, it's not just about web platforms. However, high scores, they get on the benchmarks. It's not about platform accessibility or assistive technology, all components matter. Before we leave, I'm going to really quickly blaze through some resources that we want to provide you on every element of presentation stack, and you'll find those resources in the deck available by this address. Thank you.